Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Free on Free podcast. Now, last episode we said we're having a break. Unfortunately, certain Elite League teams didn't behave themselves, they didn't get the memo, and we had to get an emergency episode, so here we are. Apologies, I was hoping for a break, John was, even Scott was. He even had a smile. That's how much he was looking forward to a break. However, we're all here. So, as mentioned, Scott, John, how are you, gents?
I'm pretty good. A few more days to go to we're in Prague enjoying ourselves, and it's nice to see you all for one last time before we're out there.
Yeah, I'm okay. Whirlwind last few days in the Elite League. How are you, mate?
Not too bad, thank you. Enjoying the bank holiday weekend. So, as we mentioned, it's been a bit of a whirlwind week in the Elite League. We have to have someone else just to give us a bit more assistance. And we've managed to get, very short notice, one of the voices of the commentary players and recently of Great Britain on the webcast front, we've got Ed Kimberley. Ed, thank you very much for the last-minute call-up. How are you? Everything going all right? Enjoying the off-season so far?
Yeah, I'm good, boys. Thank you for inviting me on. It's nice to be on the other side of the mic for a change. I'm usually the interviewer rather than the interviewee, so this is pretty fun. And yeah, I mean, I'd say taking a break, but as you guys say, we've been involved with GB, and yeah, a lot's happened with my Coventry Blaze over the last week or so. So it's been pretty busy.
Don't worry, we can get you doing the interviews. You know, more than that. So don't kind of think it's going to be an easy ride. Jokes aside, we'll go straight into it, and obviously. If you've not been living under a rock, coaching changes in the Midlands area. And for want of a phrase, it's a little bit of swapsies. Scott, I'm going to leave it to you, mate. Start the ball rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at work and I get a message going, Danny's gone. And I was like, what? Okay, right. But it was a shock. But Ed, you know, you speak to Danny the most about everyone. You received the news. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, over the last 8 years as a coach with us, Danny, I've spoke to a lot every game day. You know, plenty of days in between. He's been an amazing mentor to me, and I know to Stu as well, and just been an unbelievable servant to the club. And I think that he gave everything to this organization. You know, he was really close to winning silverware, particularly in that pre-COVID year where we just kind of ran out of time. And frankly, I think it was such a tough year in the hockey community in this country, losing four really great guys that, one of them really close to home. I think it just felt like the time was right. Personally, just, talking to Danny towards the end of the season, I think he felt as well that, he was ready to get a bit of a fresh start somewhere. And, I'm really thrilled for him. It's a completely different kettle of fish up the road in Nottingham there, a completely different facility, different access to resources. And yeah, I'm thrilled that he's got that opportunity, and I think he's going to be successful up there.
We obviously had the passing of Keno, and you can say that the lads kept on going for Keno, but I mean, you were in and around the room. How much of an effect did it have on Danny and the players? And do you think it's probably one of the main contributing factors to him walking away?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to ask Stewie, but I mean, it was definitely a contributing factor. For someone who spends a lot of his spare time talking about hockey, I'm a bit lost for words to describe how that room was. It's not something that I ever thought I'd go through, and Keno to me was a really good friend. I saw him every game day for the last 7 years and, golfed with him. And, he gave us time to talk about the new guys and came on podcasts and stuff. So I think everybody in that room will have interacted with, Keno on different levels, will have different levels of experience with him, whether it's someone like David Clements, who'd been here for the whole time that Dale was here, or, even someone like Chase Archie, who I think had only been in the team like 2 weeks or a week at that point, would have been affected by that. And, if anybody thinks that the guys could have just brushed that off in the, in the last month of the season, I really don't understand that mentality. But, they finished strong the last couple of weeks. They were one goal away from the playoff finals weekend, which would have been amazing for the organization. But yeah, Danny frankly shared a room with Dale for the last 7 years. You know, the little coaching office next to the dressing room, it's not a big space. You know, they'll bus together, they'll room together. You know, like a lot of us, he lost a friend. And I think sometimes, you know, you just need to draw a line under being somewhere and move on. And I think, you know, that's probably the right time for him.
There was a lot of critics of Danny. There was the coaching style over the last years. I mean, it's hard for me because, and yourself, like, because we know him, we're always going to support him. And we probably sometimes maybe a bit get clouded in our judgment. Do you feel like he ever got the style of players he wanted every season? Do you feel like there was frustrations on his side?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, it's a bit of a cliche when you're recruiting a team, but you can do all the due diligence in the world, but you never really know what you're going to get until it walks through the door. You know, you look at this season as an example. You know, we ended up losing Don Hauser and Burnside really, really early, and you know, had to pivot. You know, you look at the year before. You know, we had Brock Trotter up until about a week before the season, pivoted and ended up with Marley Quince, which worked out fantastically for us. But you know, I think some years he had good teams, and you know, we just ran into better teams at the wrong times, for example, or you know, you get a couple of injuries and you have to juggle things around, and you just don't carry the same chemistry that you were carrying when you were hot. I'd be really interested to see what his all-star team would be, and you know, how close in terms of those 8 years they were to being a possibility to play together. But like I said, I keep coming back to that 2019-2020 season. I you know, hand on heart, as a you know, a Blaze guy through and through. Think that we just ran out of time before we won something that year.
In respect of kind of Danny Stewart and moving away from Coventry, you kind of look at around the teams that you would suggest is an upgrade from Coventry. No disrespect to Coventry, but Nottingham's probably the only team that he could realistically go. He's not going to go to Cardiff. They've got Pete Russell. Belfast is Keith. Fox is Sheffield. Panthers is the one that he can actually test himself to go, I actually can coach with the big boys and actually show what my worth is, which he has done very well in Coventry, but with a lot more resources. Do you reckon that you know you'll see the results and kind of it shows what his actual style of coaching is?
Up in Nottingham, yeah, I think so. I mean, the move just makes so much sense for him. You know, he lives in Coventry. You know, he owns a house here. The family, you know, are from around here. So, you know, logistically, it makes sense. And yeah, I mean, look, he's in his early mid-40s now. He's been coaching for over a decade. It's just a natural part of his career. You know, he's done well in Coventry. You know, we missed the playoffs 1 year. You know, we were a good team, and he's built a culture here. You know, the one thing that he said that he wanted to do was, you know, have that family feel again. And you know, being in and around that organization, it definitely feels a lot more like that than when he came in. And you know, I think that's an important trait to bring into Nottingham. You know, frankly, both organizations have come really close together this year because of the tragedies that we've both been through. So I think, you know, any coach going into that organization, you know, fortunately, I suppose having experience of losing a loved one, losing a member of that family is rare. You want it to be rare, frankly, but to bring someone in who's had that real world experience, you know, so close in the same league is, I think, a draw. And I think he'll do really well there because he can nurture that fan base and he can nurture the guys that have experienced losing Adam and coming back next year.
Interesting point you mentioned there in terms of knowing, sadly, having that experience of losing someone. Do you think actually, from a Nottingham perspective, there's a bit more sense to it to having someone who's again, sadly, with Keno, just having that knowledge of what to expect and what the organisation's gone through to kind of be able to still, you know, steer the ship in the right direction?
I'd be a little bit surprised if it didn't come up. I mean, obviously, that's not something you ever want to consider. But, you know, Nottingham, with respect over the last kind of, well, I mean, 7 or 8 seasons, you know, you can count on 2 hands how many coaches they've had. It's pretty much been one in, one out every year. And, you know, they're trying to find some stability there. You know, they're trying to find a recipe that works because they had so much success under Corey Neilson. He was there for ages. You know, Danny's been with the Blaze 8 years and he was here for 4 as a player. He builds foundations, you know, he builds the blocks of an organization up. And I just see him doing that again in Nottingham, frankly.
If I'm honest with you, so do I. I think it's more than just a shrewd move by Nottingham. And we'll go on to that kind of overall view in a bit. Let's move on to the replacement for Coventry, and we'll bring Scott back in because with Stuart going up to Nottingham, down to Coventry. Mr. Moore, what do you think of that one, Scott?
I'm quite excited by it. His enthusiasm is evident. But I'm not going to tell you about that. Ed, you met with him before a couple of days ago and did the interview with him. I've heard a few things, but he's going to bring some charisma and he seems very excited to be here. It doesn't seem like cliche answers. It's not, he's playing a game. He genuinely seems excited to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I was super lucky that essentially I got to meet him on his first day. I got to be there when he toured the building. He not, well, obviously he'd seen a bit of the Skydome as a, as an away team member, but he was so excited. He was really full of good superlatives about the rink. And the thing that really stood out for me as well was just he was just asking about the people. He really wanted to know about who was on that tour, and it was a very small number of people. Ethan Kane, the equipment manager, they'd spoken over WhatsApp a few times, and he was wanting to know about Ethan. Anthony Pountney, who's Ethan's right-hand man, Craig Summerton, the media manager, he was asking about us, our lives, how long we've been with the organization, what we did, what we were like as people outside of the game. And it was amazing. He was, I think he's just got this authenticity to him that it's just perfect. It's just a perfect fit for the Coventry Blaze. And similar to what I was saying about Danny and, in the community with Nottingham, I think Kevin's going to do the same here in Coventry. I like his energy is infectious. He's got the to camera persona, but away from it, he's got that level of cheekiness. He's a fun guy, and the fans are going to love him. I'm really excited to get the summer over with and get September here.
I'm a bit of a geek, and I'll say this with love, Ed. You're a bigger geek than me. Kevin comes across from his career to date, from obviously retiring to playing to the roles he's done. I presume you've looked into it. What do you get that we're going to expect from Kevin as a coach and style of play? I know you spoke to him briefly about it when he did the Blaze TV stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got sent his CV as well, which was awesome because, I mean, we've all got CVs right in our careers outside of this, and it was amazing how remarkably similar it was in terms of the structure. But you look through it, and he's been integral in any place that he's coached in all three zones. Obviously he was a netminder as a player. There's that defensive responsibility. You look at how he's improved PK units, for example. How he's worked with Centerman to be good in the dot, in terms of the transition game, in terms of the defensive responsibilities, and then he's worked with power plays as well, and increased teams' goals for. I forget which college it was. It was one of his NCAA schools he was at. He essentially doubled up within a year what their goals for were, which is phenomenal. And for an organization last year that struggled on the scoring side of things, just that alone is. It is unbelievably exciting. And if you listen to some of the answers that he gave on Blaze TV, just a team that will have structure and discipline. He's quite a detailed guy by the sounds of it in terms of the X's and O's, but he wants them to play. He wants them to go out there and have fun. And it's not just about getting in position defensively. It's about hunting down guys on the back check. It's about trying to play physical. It's about trying to strip pucks. And yeah, I just love that he's had success everywhere he's been in all three zones, and I think in the modern game that's huge. You can't just be a one-trick pony.
It's all right to be all positive, and that's what we want to be as fans. But what sort of, if you could give him advice, if you could give him an assistant coach, what would you give him to help him bed in? Because he is a rookie. He has been assistant coach. He's been director of hockey, but this is his first gig as a head coach. What do you hope to see that the Blaze do for him?
Yeah, well, I mean, he coached in I think it's Scholastica College as a head coach in the ACHA. So, his first pro head coaching gig for sure. That's a really good question. I think he should be given a little bit of freedom to do his thing, to be honest. In terms of recruitment, I think maybe the Blaze needed to have a little bit more impetus up the middle last year. I think if Stewie would go back and recruit that team again, he'd probably be a little bit stronger up the middle. I think that's probably where I'd suggest he starts. But look, I just get really good vibes off Kevin. I just think that the Blaze should give him the leash and let him go and see what he can do.
Ed, I watched the interview, and one thing that came across to me very much so when you spoke to him the other day is they're massively different personalities. I know he's new. I know he's looking to give a good impression. But for me, Danny's a little bit negative, dare I say. Kev looks a little bit upbeat and he's very enthusiastic. I think that maybe we'll engage a bit more with the Coventry fan base a bit next season. And I think surely that'll give him a bit of a head start. He's got a personality. Fans will buy into him because he looks the part already.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's got a great personality. He's a very fun guy. He even came down to the Booster Club sale the next day. We were just talking about it because there was a bunch of stuff in the room where we did the interview. We kind of all pushed it into a corner and I think upset Ethan that he'd all laid it out ready to go. He was just asking what it was all for, and we explained that there was the Booster Club were raising some funds for the club for the next year. And he's like, "Great, when is it? I'll come down and meet some fans and say hello." Just little things like that go a long way. He just wants to dive in with both feet. And like I said, I think to Scott, a few minutes ago, just that authenticity just oozes off of him, and it's infectious. And I think people are just going to snap that up.
100%. I think he took a lot of credit last season with what happened, of course, and a
Yeah.
lot of people saw him as being the leader in that organization. And he stepped up in tragic circumstances. Obviously, he's only there for a short term in Coventry, but already you've engaged with the guy. He's like, how do you think he'll cope with it being his first season as a head coach, though? Do you think he'll need a bit of an older head alongside him to give him some guidance, or is he going to go in all guns blazing himself and create his own mark on that team?
Yeah, I think it'll be a combination of the two. He's not going to go in it super bullish and not want to listen to people. I think quite the opposite. He was, asking a lot of really good questions to myself, having been around the league for quite a while and around the team for quite a while. To Craig, to Ethan, to Pounce. Really just trying to get everyone's take on things. Like you said, he's a really detailed guy. But I think he will, like you say, he'll lean on some of the more seasoned players. I think he'll probably look to bring in someone to help him behind the bench. It's just so good a league that it must be really, really hard, even if you've coached for years to just do it on your own. So I imagine he'll bring someone in to help out. And yeah, he'll look at the recruitment market. He'll bring someone in that's naturally got some years under their belt as a player that will have seen situations that he can lean on. Coventry have to do that. We tend to go for youth sports or guys coming out of the NCAA that maybe don't have a lot of pro hockey on their belt under their belt, but we always do throw in a guy like a Danny Christo or a Colton Yellowhorn or a Jani Laakkonen who've been around the sun a few times and know what it takes to be successful at the pro level, and you can lean on for advice.
Yeah, it makes sense. If you can put that money on the ice and off the ice at the same time, maybe a player assistant, it makes sense. Off the record, did he give you an indication of what he expects for the season ahead now? Did you sort of talk about where he hopes to be and where in 12 months' time you expect to finish the season? Was that a bit
No,
too cheeky of me?
I've done this a few times before, with Stewie, over the last 8 years. Oh, have you set yourself any goals for the season? The answers are always, we want to compete. We want to look at try and winning silverware. But I just thought that was a bit of a non-committal question to ask him on day one. So, and particularly with, I think a complete blank slate in terms of players signed. So, maybe we'll ask him a little bit further down the road what he thinks this team are capable of.
You mentioned in terms of how he wants to know people. Given it's a, as you mentioned, this is his first pro gig as head coach. Do you reckon that's actually going to give him, is in terms of the stance of I want to know the people, not just the club and that's it. Wanting to know the people and who he has around him. Do you reckon that may give him a bit of an advantage in terms of being able to hit the ground running?
100%, absolutely 100%. He showed this level of emotional intelligence that you don't necessarily get all the time in the hockey community, just for the nature of the role. It's very stress, very high pressure, and I think sometimes the guys just try not to get too high with the highs or too low with the lows. But yeah, no, I think in a way dropping his ego, I think to a certain extent, if I can describe it as that, and leaning on those around him, wanting to pick everybody's brains, is huge, and that will absolutely stand him in good stead coming down the road for sure.
Ed, put you on a spot. As you just said, we like to sign a guy that's had a bit of experience with Danny Christo, etc. Who are you taking from under the team if you could to help steady the ship this year? Be the guidance for Kevin Moore. Obviously, there's going to be a few players that we'll try and get back from this year's roster. But if you could get your eye on, pick someone, who would it be?
From one of the elite league clubs that
Yeah.
weren't playing. I mean, I would have said Kevin Tansey. I thought he was an incredible player, but I guess now him having
You
already
can all
signed
dream, mate.
in Sheffield is, yeah, I know, it kind of messes my answer up there. That's a really good question. You know, I know it's a, I know it's probably not going to happen, but I even think someone like Mark Richardson would be a wonderful signing for him. You know, someone that can you know steady the ship on the back end, play in all circumstances, that have played, you know, for so long, clearly has some life left in the tank. Someone like that he could lean on as a, in a leadership role, and you know, give him you know the legs of the league would be pretty big. It's not necessarily about signing a guy that's going to get 30 goals in a year, but someone like Mark is just integral to what the Cardiff Devils do. And you know, if the Blazers are lucky to have a guy like that, I think that would really help Kevin quite a lot.
And just to finish on yourself, Ed, I mean, you've been doing this gig for a while now. Everyone thinks it's easy. You've had me help you a couple of times, and it's not. But how much hard work does it take, and how much do you actually enjoy doing it? I know it's tough, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got the benefit of I lose count. I think this was year 13. You know, and I started commentating when not many people watched the live streams, when not many teams were doing live streams. So, you know, I had the I guess the good fortune of being able to make my mistakes early, figure out what worked and what didn't work when there wasn't a, you know, a massive audience base for it. But yeah, you know, I think the world in general and the game has evolved, and the brand of the Elite League has evolved. Where I think, what did Kevin call it, a sleeping giant? But you know, frankly, we've got teams competing in the Champions League. Great Britain are in the top division in the world. You know, the Elite League is a big product, so you know you have to be prepared. You know, going into games, you know, half cocked you can't do. So you know, before every game, we're you know prepping, you know, doing our research on the guys, you know, for both teams, getting stats together. But also, it's overkill. You know, no one wants to come and listen to a calculator of hockey stats. That's just not fun for anybody. But yeah, I love it. You know, I'm super lucky. You know, I grew up watching the Coventry Blaze. You know, the rink opened when I was 10. You know, I went to games that first season. Yeah, you know, this is like my equivalent of, you know, growing up playing football on Whitley Common in Coventry and then going and playing for the Sky Blues. This is my equivalent. You know, I'll never be a professional athlete, but this is as close as I'll get, and I love it. And yeah, as long as they'll have me, I'll be around.
Yeah, I don't think you're going anywhere, mate. Thanks for joining us, Ed. We will definitely get you back on during the season, mate.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. Big fan of the show, and keep doing your thing. It's awesome.
Cheers, pal. So, yeah, lads, it's been a whirlwind week or so for the Coventry Blaze and the Nottingham Panthers, but we had Ed on, who's absolutely brilliant, articulated his thoughts very well. But it's a bit hard for me and him, knowing Danny as we do, and, you know, it's a massive change. But, John, what are your actual thoughts on these two moves for the league?
Yeah, I think you guys probably have to be a little bit more diplomatic. You're both friends of his and you know him professionally as well as personally. So as an outside looking in, I suppose we can be a little bit more neutral. I think if you weigh up the both moves, I think Coventry, seemingly for me, have got the better of the deal. I think the place definitely needed freshening up. Coventry's become a bit stale. It's not Danny's fault. He's only given the budget he's got to work with. For me, looking on the outside, looking in, he looked a bit frustrated at times in the last couple of seasons. Many times, you go into games and there wouldn't be a lot of energy coming from the bench. And I know, obviously, you've been through with what happened with Keno as well. So, in his defence, he's had a tough, recent few months as well. Going there, I think, will give him a nice, refreshing change. It's probably going to give him a bit of his buzz for the game back again because I don't think he's enjoyed the last couple of years. He looks sometimes a defeated man. In terms of Kev, he had a lot of credit last season. We've talked about him before, how he came out of the horrendous situation with a lot of credit. He seemed to me to be the main leader, I'd say, in the organisation. He stepped up a bit more than Paredes or Paraday, how we want to say his name, Pep. And I respect for what he did. The very next day, he faced the media and he had to try and galvanize the team somehow. And he did his best to try to do that. He had that emotional interview a few months later, when he talked to the media again about how this team has struggled because of what they've been through. And literally on the back of that, they went on a good run. They started to get some results. So they clearly respect him. The players respect him. It's a big gamble, of course, when you take on a first year head coach. All the experience in the world of being an assistant or being a junior level, wherever, it's a lot to be a professional coach for the first time. I said to like Ed off camera there, he gives me Andrew Lord vibes a little bit. It was a different personality. Lord was a very serious, intense guy. He was very enthusiastic. He looked like he really wants this job. He's already integrated with the people of Coventry very quickly. He's coming into this, and you can tell he's going to give it 100%. He's a hungry guy. He's looking to make a good impression. I hope he does well. I really do. I think Coventry needs, and the league need Coventry to have a good season again. We need them back fighting amongst the top four or five. They had a poor year last year. And if things hadn't changed, would it have been another poor year again? Maybe with Danny, you're limping along a little bit. With this new guy, Kev, now you can obviously try and almost reinvent yourself. What Coventry team will we get next season? They haven't got to be a Danny Stewart team anymore. He can do whatever he wants to do. It's his team. He can mould that team. And I just get the sense it'll be a young, exciting team and a good brand of hockey. And I think as a Coventry fan yourself and anyone who's a Coventry fan listening, it's exciting times and it's amazing how sport's so fickle. A few weeks ago, everyone was depressed, everyone was fed up. It was another season of frustration. And you lost your coach, a little bit of a downer for some fans. And then a day or two later, you announce this guy. And I think the buzz is back in Coventry, and it's good to see.
Definitely is a buzz, and obviously we're going to have returning players from this year's team. It's never going to be a free for all 20 new players. So it'd be interesting to see their game change under a new coach. David, we laughed at Mr. Williams when he mentioned to Ed Ofcourt about it being an Andrew Lord kind of vibe, but he has a point. Could be some good times. I don't know what your thoughts are. I know you've just bloody won the Grand Slam, and every other team's a little
He
minnow.
won the Grand Slam.
Yeah, but no, for honest thoughts on the situation. Danny, great move for Danny, and then Kev coming into Cov.
If we have to talk about Sheffield winning the Grand Slam, I'm more than happy to do that. But moving on to the topic in hand, I think this is good business by both teams. Looking at it from the Stuart to Nottingham, given the season they had, and they've had coaches come in and out every year, what they needed, and we asked the question in terms of, to Ed, is he needed a guy who knows the league and knows how to navigate them still, just through everything, and get them back to where they believe they should be? And that is challenging for the league, challenging for the cups, being one of the top teams. And I think Stuart will do that because Stuart, you joke in football, but can you do it on a wet Tuesday night in Stoke? Well, he knows what it's like to go on a Wednesday night to Fife. He's been around, so he has that information where other coaches don't. And when they may get that, oh fuck, what's this moment? And there's no slur on any of the rinks. Stuart already has done that, and he knows it. He has that information, and I think that's going to help the Panthers in the respect of that stability. Because I think they still need a bit more stability in that context. With the resources that will be handed to him, the facilities that will be available to him, the capacity to be able to, in essence, coach how he wants to without restriction. I think this is a shrewd move by the Panthers. I know some of the fans have called it lazy, and if I'm going to be bluntly honest here, I'm going to criticise them. The only thing lazy is those fans going, oh, it's lazy. No, have a think about it for a second. Don't just go, oh, it's Danny Stewart commentary, it must be shit. No, have a think about this. In terms of the move, in terms of the moving the piece around, I think this does well for Nottingham. I know he's no Saddam Hussein, as one fan kind of would have rather had. And if I'm honest, you can talk your waffles about that, but you're talking shit, love. You're bringing them type people into it. I don't care. That was absolute bollocks. I think this move does a lot for Nottingham. Flip the coin. I think the move of Moore to Coventry does a lot for them as well. Because as much as Stuart, icon of the Blaze. Whatever you say about him, he's an icon of the Blaze. And we mentioned it a number of times on episode and off record. You needed a bit of spark, a bit of something just to get yourselves going. Because you had a good cup run that got you to the semi-final, that you had the chance to get there. But now you've got a chance with a new coach, with a bit more enthusiasm and just a bit more energy about him. Because in fairness, Stuart has, after so many years, that will tire on him. Ignoring the sad, tragic loss at the end of the season, just the 8 years as coach, that will weigh him down. As it would any coach, that will have really just, pushed him even further. So to have someone with a bit more energy, a bit more jump in his step, I think will do well for the Blazers. I've already got his Mark card. I've seen he's a New York Rangers fan, so he could get fucked. I hope he finishes 10th every year, but he's a coach now. But I do, as a serious point, I think he will do a lot for Coventry. I think he'll get the buzz back in the arena on a more regular basis. We've talked that they've got close, they've had the good runs, they've done well. They could finish fourth if they had a push. I think this move, if everything plays according to, and you listen to how he talks and the energy he does bring, and I'm saying that as an outsider, and I think John said similar in terms of the energy he brings. If an outsider can see it, geez, what's it going to do for your guys? Are you going to have an opportunity where your fans are back on board on a hymn sheet with your coach, with your club? And we say Nottingham's dangerous if that happens. But you start filling that building, 2,500, 2,600, get to sellouts week in, week out. I remember the heydays of the Blaze where when that was sold out, that was a horrible place to go to. Because your fans were just downright nasty, and I'm all for it, because you wanted your team to win. And if you can get that back with a bit of energy, who knows? But I think we joke at the beginning it was Swapsies, but I think these are kind of the right time, the right place for both moves.
Boys, who'd you say won the trade then? If we call it a trade then, we call it Swapsies, the trade.
I don't
First
think
in, first impression.
I don't think anybody's won. I think they've both got what they want. If I'm honest with you, I don't think there's a winner.
Tory.
No, it's not Tory. Nah, bullshit. Bullshit on you, mate. He's
Tory.
won. Nah, you're the big Tory mater. But Nottingham have a coach that has a coach who's got an opportunity to beat one of the big teams, has the resources. You're going to see what he's going to do. Coventry, guys, his first gig head coach in pro and energy. They both get what they want. If it was Tories, they both get fuck all and would just have more austerity. So it's not a Tory line. I think both of them have got what they actually need and different directions, but gets them back to where they believe they need to be. I think this good move is all around.
Let's get the season started tomorrow. No, I think you're right, David. I do really think, and I think hopefully with what's happened with the cross divides, the rivalry will get there a little bit back
The
from
team, one
me.
rival, sorry to interrupt, Scott, one rival that will be back because of his hatred of one club is Nottingham Sheffield. I can't see Danny Stewart not wanting to get one over Sheffield on more than one occasion, so I'm looking forward to that.
100%. From me, I'm really excited about Kevin coming in. From Danny leaving on a personal note, like 12 years, that guy gave everything for this club. And I will always appreciate what he's doing and back him. And on a personal note, I hope he does really well. But from a fan note, fuck the Panthers. And let's move on to something else.
Let's indeed move on to something else. There's been other moves. There's been some players re-sign, retain coaches, and some players have left. We'll go through the list and we'll just go round table just to go on that. So, in no particular order, Belfast are bringing the band back together because they think that's going to automatically bring back the silverware. But JJ Pickenich, quality player, can't say anything less, but he's back in Belfast. Surprising one, Michael Correll's retired. Who was a decent player at Manchester? Lucas Bryan has crossed the divide from Dundee to Glasgow. Bodie Wilde, this evening, as we record about a couple of hours ago, has announced that he's leaving to the DL2. Our favourite player, Scott's favourite player. And if he had a Cardiff shirt, he'd have him on the back of his shirt. Riley Brandt has resigned. And behind the bench in Belfast, Andrew Keefe has confirmed he's back for another year at least. Scott, I'm going to start with because I know you're excited for Riley Brandt being back. I know he's your favourite hockey player. Give us your thoughts on them moves in and out of the league.
look, let's be honest, we just said you can't re-sign Brandt and Pitcairn, and let's pump our tires. We were right because Pitcairn didn't get a shift, didn't play, he was on the bench for a lot of games, so you couldn't re-sign both of them. So we were right on that point. But to announce Riley Brandt back with the fanfare it had, and to get the owners tweeting about him and to say, oh, we've re-signed our fan favorite. Whoop-de-doo. No challenging team re-signs Riley Brandt. You can look at his stats. Yes, he laughs and jokes and throws a few hits, but his goal productions have mainly been in losing games. Yes, I know he scored against my team, and you can all come back at me and say that, but it's not for me. I don't get it. I don't get why it's your first announcement. Devil's social media is a bit bizarre anyway, where they build up things, come back at 8 p.m., come back and do this. It's silly little gifts. Not for us. Look, we know the Devil's organization are never going to be friends of this podcast, so it doesn't really matter. I can't see a challenging Devil's team with a player of the ilk of Riley Brandt, and that's nothing against him. It's just the truth. And people can come around and say, "Oh, look, you want to slag off Riley Brandt." It's not about slagging off Riley Brandt. It's just my opinion. But if you want to love that guy, is he going to win you a trophy? Time will tell.
Oh, well, it's his fourth season apparently now. Well, somehow the club see what other people don't see. There are a minority of fans in the organization that will not have a bad word said against the guy. Fair enough. If the guy skates around hitting bodies and takes the odd fight on, then that's fine. But at the end of the day, it's about scoring goals, about winning games, and I don't think he does enough to do that for that organization. Few things that, yes, surprised me. Mikey Carroll retiring. Massive shock about that. He came on a few months back and we talked about maybe him being a leader in that team and seemed very settled in Manchester and talked about maybe one day being for the national team because he qualifies as a Brit. And out of the blue, he's lost to the game. So good luck to him. Be interested to see what he does with his future career. Yeah, Belfast is reverted the type of a name if it's not worked. Bring back the old guard. Apparently, Mr. Conway is winding people up on Twitter, like, as he typically does. So he'll probably be the next one to be announced as well, alluding to things that suggest he's not going to go back to Belfast, but he'll be back in Belfast, no doubt. And I'd like to see that happen myself because I can dislike them even more. One good signing again for Nottingham was Jordan Kelso. He's a player I really rate. Really rate him a lot. I'm surprised that he's not found himself on that GB periphery. I really am because he's a good player. He skates well. He's got a lot of speed. And to not even be even considered, I don't understand that, to be honest. For me, I'd take him over Duggan in a heartbeat. So Kelso will go back to Nottingham as a good signing. That one went below the radar a little bit, really. And yeah, Brian was a funny one because it meant that the Dundee fans were up in arms because one minute they thought they had Brian and now he's gone to Glasgow. The nearest and dearest rivals.
For me, one of the big signings at the moment, I'm looking at the Pickenich one. One thing that kind of fascinates me when players come back when they've gone abroad, and it's kind of a normally downhill trend. But you look at Pickenich's stats, he's like on, what was it, 120 points in two seasons in Norway, had an A on his shirt last season, he's still on the upward curve. So, and yeah, they've gone to type. You hear the rumours that they're bringing everybody back that won the Grand Slam. But that's a good signing for him. That's a very good signing, and any club would take that any way, shape, form. So I like that one. One signing that I completely forgot, and apologies, was the Kelso one. I do think that's quite a good signing for the Panthers, just on a depth basis. They had the potential of good players in terms of the Brit selection, but injuries didn't help them last year. But him coming back, I think is good in that score. I'm going to mention Brandt because you hear people, blue guy, this, that, and the other, and you always get players that are the ones that brings it all together. And fine, if Cardiff fans are going to give him the love and adoration that they do, crack on. You be you. Me personally, I just don't see what more he brings. He can throw hits, great. You want players that do that. He can have a fight, great. Players do that. Players that will score more points. I'm not sure, me personally, of that signing. I think then, but he obviously does something to Cardiff, and Pete Russell sees something that no one else does, and he's paid the money to do the job to sign a team that's going to win him a title. So time will tell that one. I find that a baffling one, but I've got to be honest. I do like certain Cardiff fans are critiquing, and just Sheffield fans that are slagging off Ryder Brand, but there's a number of Cardiff fans that have actually slagged Ryder Brand off in terms of the signing. So I'm finding the it's kind of the it's the siege mentality of is one of ours. We must support at all costs. And it don't matter if you've been watching the game for a year or 20 odd years, but I just find that odd. That kind of it's ours, and you know it's like you can't critique. Well, yeah, as long as you can back it up with something, you don't have to agree with it. And I think a lot of people do go down that line of, you know, we don't like him, and this is why. But I'm finding that one odd because they don't tend to do it with other players. But Riley Brandt gets that backing from the fan base in Cardiff.
Open
Yeah, I
invite.
agree.
Open invite. Riley Brandt, if you want to come on, shut us up. Tell us what's what.
Yeah, happily, right reply.
As you said, nothing against him. He seems like a great guy. Lucas Bryan, though, I want to go back on that one. Dundee fans are not happy. It seems like he agreed to come back and then has told Lefebvre that he has gone on a 2-year deal in Clan. Look, this happens. But it's happened the first week of May. It's no big deal. The guy's got to back himself. At the end of the day, you weren't going to play him unless Carr was injured. He came in and did a job for you guys. So how about create that rivalry going? You've had lots of players go to the Clan in the last few years. How about start hating them and stop pretending you don't hate them and enjoy that one? The Pickenich one. Look, loose lips, as we said in Belfast, you're looking at Conway and Bass coming back as well. And then you get Keith coming back. Boys, do you think that this is the season that Belfast, if they are going to go down that route, they best fucking win it. They best win that league.
This is, I have a conversation with a friend, someone listens to the pod. They roll the dice. It's one of them. If it works out, great. But if it doesn't, they go back a bit further in terms
Could you
of.
see it being you that with Keith coming back, he's thought, because look, we know Sheffield are going to be strong again. Tony Smith said, bringing back the majority. You can't deny what Sheffield did last year. Great team. So Keith's looked at that back for this season, where surely he's probably got a few offers, maybe not in this summer, but in last summer. He's going to go, right, I've got these jigsaw pieces back. Hopefully it's a good ding dong between each other. But if he doesn't win, where does that leave Keith? Where does that leave the Belfast Giants?
Interesting one because, like I think we mentioned at the end of last season, he was going to get, or theoretically, he'd have got some really good offers because of his stock was quite high. From my perspective, it was not just the Belfast job, but also his work at GB. Now, he didn't do it last year because I believe his partner was they're expecting a child. I'm not sure if it's the first or multiple child around the World Championship. So, you know, good reason to not be there. He's not involved this year. So the capacity to add to the stock is now diminished. So he has to deliver. But as we mentioned before, guys, Belfast is one of four teams that the pressure's there. The fans expect. And especially with what they've brought in terms of silverware over the last few years, last year will have hurt them. Yeah, they made the final of the playoffs, but not winning anything will have hurt them. So they're going to want to bring back silver. They'll want more banners going up at the SSC. And they're rolling the dice and going, we need to win. It's borderline shit or bust. If the guys come back in and they do the business as they did previous years, great, they're going to win silverware. But if they don't, there's going to be some interesting questions and you kind of borderline going complete rebuild for the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, I think what David said is fair. The players which are rumoured to be coming back is in addition to obviously the one that's been announced already, there are two or three players in the pipeline that have been at Belfast before. There's old sporting adages, isn't there, about not going back. Sometimes it doesn't work out second time around. Whether that'll be the case or not, if it's multiple players coming back, will it work out for each of them every single time? I don't know. Probably they've all got track records in Belfast if these alleged names are going to come back, and it will make them very strong, I'm sure, again next season. They've only brought a few players back this season. It worked out okay. Like Cullen came back, didn't he, for a while, and as did Goodwin, and he sort of steadied the ship a little bit. I don't know. A strong Belfast team, I'm sure we have to agree, is good for the league. But a strong Belfast team isn't something I want to see. So let's hope they do struggle next season and they continue to be poor because it was fun. But equally, by the same token, we do not want a league where one team wins it by January, which will happen this year. So maybe a competitive Belfast, a competitive Cardiff will be good for the league, and then not good for everyone's blood pressure and heart rates come the important games in the springtime.
So yeah, you've got the moves happening. Teams will make more signings, and we was gonna have to do this like end of May. But obviously, as I said, teams didn't get the memo. So we'll do these kind of discussions on the signings. I back what Scott said. Riley, you're more than welcome to come on us and tell us we're wrong. We always offer the right reply, so it's there for you. And any Cardiff fans, we are prepared to listen to him. I know that there's an element of preciousness about that, but that's by the by. So that's it for this emergency episode that's gone on for
Boys,
a
boys,
fair chunk of time.
do we not want to talk about the GB selection?
Yes, we should do, given that we're going there in a few days.
Yeah, we have a lads trip in only a few days' time, a fortnight in Prague,
A lad's trip with granddad, Jesus Christ.
being forced to drink cheap alcohol.
You make it sound ridiculous. So we on the last episode we told the full roster and we gave our guess as to who would get the cut. This it was announced that David Clements and Logan Nielsen was the unlucky ones at not getting a plane ticket to Prague. Gents, we'll start John. Are they fair calls, or
We
would you?
didn't do very good, did we? We didn't do very good on our calls. Ah, goodness me. I don't really agree with either, but at the end of the day, I'm not in that room. I'm not the person making that decision. I think I can't argue with Tetlow going. I do like him as a player. For me, my only concern for him this season was that injury and having that spell out. And I think there was two injuries from memory. We spelled two, you know, two spells. The Panthers team, but I like the way he plays. He takes a lot of stick, Josh Tetlow. A lot of fans mock his style, but I like him as a player. On any other year, I'd take him. Clements is unlucky again. I think it's a big, big call. Not again a guy that plays as many minutes as he does, and in all situations, but someone's going to miss out. Duggan, he's been lucky a few times now, getting in because of injuries. So he's been fortunate a few times to get in because of other players not being able to make it. Good luck to the guy. I hope he does well. I hope he goes over there and shuts a few people up, myself included. Logan Nielsen would have been my choice. Maybe he's got a bit of a niggle. I don't know. He did get injured, of course, didn't he, as well, later in the season. I don't know. Maybe age and experience. Maybe Duggan gets a nod over that. Did touch on it before. I would have liked to see Kelso get a little look as well, but he didn't get even in the preliminary squad. Yeah, David called Clements. I called Tetlow and Duggan. I think Scott may have done the same as well. And what do I know? Either way, all I care about is going over there, us getting some points and enjoying ourselves, because I've mentioned it before, boys, I like going to watch GB play hockey, as you know.
Pete's got his favourites, hasn't he? But he hasn't. He's took his favourites from Cardiff that he didn't fucking play all year. Didn't give him minutes in his own fucking team. So, whatever, Pete, you've got agendas against certain issues and certain players, but you've took players that you played 2 minutes a game to the World Championship. So, don't know what to say on that. Baffled.
I think there are some that I am baffled. However, I'll say this: if there's a coach from an international perspective who has the credit to go, these are my picks, and we come back, it's Pete Russell with what he's done the last thing. Now, before I appreciate you, what you're saying is right in terms of his own team not got minutes. The perspective I'm saying that from is he's earned the credit in what he's done over the years. So for me, and I appreciate that might be different to you, Scott, is that he's earned the right to go, this is my team, to have the right to go, this is my pick, and not go, no, you need to do this X, Y, Z. But whilst it's wrong in what you're saying, my own opinion is he's earned the credits to go,
He's also
yeah, this is my thing.
right. You weren't expecting Budapest. No one expected Budapest, so you can go from that, right? But up to the Worlds, it was a case of winning one game and staying up, effectively, right? And then the France game was a pretty shitty performance for most of the game. France were just fucking knackered, so you can drag it on that point. And then we come back down and win it at home, And he's also got a very good coaching staff as well. Bringing Chuck Webber in is thing. So as much as
I need to.
he's done wonders. He
I just
has
want to
done
say
wonders,
though,
but he's not. It's
Scott.
not just him, is it?
No, it's not just him, but I have to say the COVID year, in terms of the tournament that was in Latvia, GB would have stayed up regardless in their performance. They got enough points to stay up. So for two seasons, they'd actually earned the right to stay in the world champs. Now, I get you that that France game was poor up to a certain point, but they turned it round. Yes, he has a team in front of him, but given he's the head coach, and I'm saying to preach to the converted here, he's at the top and it's on him. So if things went tits up, it's on him. So in the same token, he's earned the right for me, and I may be wrong on that, and I'm prepared to put my hands up if I'm wrong, but he's earned the right to go, Joe, that's my pick. And
Has his
go, right.
favourites.
Yeah, do you know what? Yes, he has. But coaches do have the favourites.
Tunnel vision.
Coaches will have their favourites. The coaches will have the guys that go, I can trust that person. In my mind, he does what I expect. And I'm not saying it's a right or wrong thing, again.
I gotta say with Scotty on this, a bit, to be honest, and ironically, saying those exact words, I taking the guys I trust. Duggan, he doesn't trust Duggan domestically. He doesn't play him.
So the
You know.
question is, before you carry on, mate, is why not trust him at Cardiff, but trust him at GB? There's
There we
obviously
go.
something, and we aren't kind of trying to guess what you're going to say, mate. But there's obviously something where he goes, I can do him, I can trust him there. But 54 games a regular season, something's amiss.
But then at the end of the day, it's still the same professional jeopardy. He wants to surely win games in the Elite League as much as he wants to win games for the national team. You know, that's his bread and butter. His Devils coaching gig is his bread and butter. So if you don't fancy a guy when everyone's fit, when you can pick and choose who you want to have in that squad, you don't have to have the players you've got in that team. With a national team, you're a little bit limited with the pool of players you have. Let's not pretend otherwise. These are players that don't get in because the face doesn't fit. For me, Zach Sullivan is one of them. I'm not saying he would definitely make the cut. He should definitely be in the conversation in terms of defence. Zach Sullivan doesn't ever get a mention. Then you look at the other players as well besides that. Now, my mind's gone totally blank. Kieran Long in Belfast, I don't know why my mind went blank. He's one of the best goal scorers in the league. The guy that can play defence and forward. A natural scorer, he doesn't get a sniff. And I know we don't know the politics behind these decisions and his players, I'm sure that for whatever reason don't get picked because they've maybe stepped out of line or said the wrong thing and don't toe the party line. But all I can see with Clemens is his face doesn't fit. And that's why he's not there for the second year running. And it's almost like regardless of how many players they could take, you aren't gonna get picked. We can take more players this season than we could take in the squad last year. He still missed out. And it's a shame because, you know, we need our best players on the ice. And I'd like to think that no politics comes into play when it comes to decision making in the squads, but I'm sure I'm a bit naive in thinking that isn't true.
Every team, every coach will have their, like you say, their favourites, and sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. And yeah, there's obviously politics. Politics, exists in sport, and in them selection moments, it's kind of rife. But I appreciate what Scott's saying, and I kind of get what he's saying. And don't get me wrong, I just think that there's, but I suppose the question then kind of changes from. Yeah, I trust his picks, but what's the difference between 54 games a regular season to seven games against the very best in the world? It's an interesting question that probably will never get answered.
Anyway, Team GB. Little things bother me. Is what it is.
Is, and we'll go from there. And I'm sure, again, if you aren't going to Prague. I'm hearing we're actually there's some good numbers going over from the UK. Premier Sport will have every game live starting next Saturday against Canada. Interesting one that's all with Conor Bedard has been confirmed will be going over. They've got three spots left. I don't think they'll fill them by the time the GB game comes along, but it's bad enough Bedard going over, isn't it, John?
Yeah, not bad. Bedard, Celebrini, Fantilli. It's going to be a hard, hard watching those guys playing against us, isn't it, Jeremy? I mean, it's going to be an absolute devastating force ourselves to watch players of that ability. Although, I'm not going to lie, boys, I'm a little bit underwhelmed. There's a few players on that team. They're okay, but there's a few superstars and a few just... They could have done better. There was little murmurings of Mr. Crosby coming across. He's the one guy I've yet to see live. I've seen so many players play in the NHL and play in the world, you know, championships. I've been very fortunate. Never seen 87 play. I thought now is going to be my time. And I selfishly am annoyed he's not there.
So. Any consolation, John? He's very good life. I've been looking to
That's
see.
That's why I hear the rumour, he is.
Maybe Mitch Marner is trying to still find Pasternak and he might end his way up in Prague.
Well, I saw him playing for them in 2017 in Cologne when he was a big deal, when people were excited about Mitch Marner playing for Canada and he was a young pup, young buck at Toronto. But yeah, well, I've come to you fast 7 years later. He's a fall guy yet again, isn't he, for the Leafs first round exit again. So Marner, a lot can happen in 7 years. But
births, deaths, taxes, Leafs losing in the first round. Also in the Canada squad, Stanley Cup winner Binnington in goal, who
is
very hothead in terms of goalies. I can't imagine he'd be very calm if one of our guys got under the skin, shall we say.
Maybe that's why Sam Duggan's there.
Maybe so. We actually said on the last episode, we want to know what content you want from us. Like I say, myself and John are out there. We will try and do a couple of overtime episodes just to give kind of the breakdown of the tournament. But we want to know what you want. Do you want us just to talk hockey? Do you want us to go around the establishments, try the food and the drink? We've been given a couple of good restaurant recommendations, which I'm sure John will be happy at that one. Let us know. We'll plug this for the next week just before we get there. So you tell us what you want to see, more than likely on Instagram, but I'm sure we'll send the video over to Scott so we can put on to Twitter. But let us know. If you want us to know what the beer's like, we can review that. We can do the research. I'm sure John would be happy to do that.
I'm trying to force myself, David, to try different types of things while I'm out there as well. Food especially, David. I'll force it down me. You know, I'm not a big eater, not a big food guy, but I'll take one for the team if it brings good content.
The volume.
Scott's bored already, isn't
he? Volume of a diva. So that's it for this episode. We have nothing left on the agenda. Twitter, Instagram, Free and Free Podcast UK, Facebook, Free and Free Podcast UK. Just quick before we go, just want to give a bit of a shout out to Round the Rinks. We did an interview with them that went on their Barnsley Radio. I know it's an episode that's helping their college cause. What I didn't know until like days before, there's actually one of my teammates was on there. In part of that, so and he got some content wrong. He got questions wrong, so I'm going to give him some shit when I see him next at training. But we hope it, you know what, it was interesting because we had to do it over WhatsApp voice notes. Did very different, but I, you know, overall I thought it came across okay. But hope that went well for you guys. So let's say thank you to Scott and John for this emergency episode, gents. On a bank holiday weekend, thank you for your time.
Good to see Scott smiling. Well, a little bit.
Well, a little bit. Never be a full smile, will it? Anyway.
Do you want to sing us out with the old army song then? Your coach's army song?
Kevin Moore's Barmy Army, Kevin Moore's Barmy Army. Close gate.
I thought it was going to go down at more, more, more. How do you like it?
That's Barry Moore's song. Any Blaze fan wants to bring that in will be shot down. Can't use another person's song, not having it.
Are you saying you can't mess with tradition?
You can't. Well,
every song gets recycled in the elite league.
But I am a stickler, and it doesn't matter. It will get used. We know it is, but I'd rather it didn't because it's Barry's song.
Do you know what? I respect you for the correct implementation of the rules and that respect. So let's consider this gate closed on this emergency episode of the Free and Free Podcast.